And thank you for being here. Such a privilege to worship with you. Some of you might be a little sleepy from the hour of sleep that you lost last night. Somebody, at least one person I know of, because this individual told me when she came in, Peggy, that she forgot to set her clocks back last night, so she wasn't here for Bible class. So we may or may not have some people filter in, and that's okay. If you need to take a nap, if I could take a nap during my lesson, then I probably would periodically. You don't have to feel like you're going to hurt my feelings at all. We are here, of course, even though we get to have fun, and even though we get to laugh and enjoy each other's company, we're here to worship God. So at this time, if you will, let's turn our attention to Him. Let's make sure that our heart is in the right place, that our hearts are open before Him, that we are open to reason, that we're listening to what He has, and that we'll change our lives according to what He has for us in His Word. We are this year, if you remember, taking the next. That's right. We're moving over here from the start to the goal, one step at a time. We're moving forward, and that's difficult sometimes, and we've talked about some of the areas, and we're going to do that some more this year. We've talked about some of the benefits, which is what we're going to be doing today. We've talked about what will happen whenever you do move forward toward the goal, toward spiritual maturity, toward souls being saved, toward our everlasting reward. When we think about those things, it makes us want that much more with the help of the Spirit, and because He's in our lives, because Jesus gave His life on the cross for us, because God loved us so much, it says in John 3:16 that He gave His only begotten Son that we could have life eternal. So because of all those reasons, because of so much more that we'll talk about this year, we're heading over there. We're heading toward our goal. But we said just a few weeks ago, and this is very important, I'm still laying groundwork and foundation for the rest of the year, that what we do matters to God. What you do here, when I'm with the church, our light is going to shine. What we do matters to God. When we're with the church, when we're at home, when we're on the street, wherever it is, what we do matters to God. So much so that Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do heartily. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So he says, because you're going to be receiving as your reward the inheritance, we do our very best. Christians do our best, don't we? This is what we see in God's Word. This is what a Christian does. If you want to be a Christian that we read about in the New Testament, you'll do your very best. What we do and how we spend our time matters to God. Your job matters to God. Your hobbies matter to God. Your relationships matter to God. And your worship matters to God. Your sleep, your wellness, all of these things and more, all of this matters to God. God cares about us. And if we believe this, it's certainly going to make a difference in the way that we live our lives. Because I understand, because I realize in God's Word that what I do matters, then I'm going to be the very best woodworker that I can be. I'm going to be the very best preacher I can be. I'm going to be the very best husband or wife or father or mother or child or whatever you want to list there. I'm going to be the very best that I can be because I realize that woodwork matters to God. I'm going to be the best gardener because I realize that my garden matters to God. I'm going to be the very best homemaker because I realize that God cares about clean floors. I'm going to do the very best in all of these areas because I realize it does matter to God. And when we do these things to the very best of our ability, what I'm submitting to you today is that others will notice these things. We are Christians. We're born again in the image of God. We're created to be His workmanship. We are different than others around us so often. And when we are different in these ways, people will take notice. People are going to see those things. And Jesus says that this is a good thing. If you have your Bible, turn to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is giving this a long sermon. He's talking about this and that and the other, probably shorter than what I preach so often, what he's preaching here in Genesis, or Matthew rather 5, 6, 7. But he says in verse 14 something very important to what we're saying today. He says that you are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Listen again. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says that others are going to see. Others will see what you're doing. If I think about that, that raises a few questions. And in the time that I have this morning, I want to raise those questions and see if we can answer them from what the Bible says. The first question is, what was Jesus talking about others seeing? What is it that they are going to see? What is it that God tells us that Matthew records that Jesus is telling us that people are going to see? Well, if you look just over one chapter in Matthew chapter 6, you can see that he lists a few things. In verse 1, he talks about practicing your righteousness before other people. So we see the same thing. If you were here Wednesday night, we talked about that just a bit, and we're not expand on that this evening very much or this morning. But in Matthew 6 and verse 1, it says that others may see. You see, practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Verse 2, he gives one of the categories here. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet. What about verse 5? When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. When you fast, in verse 16, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. So three categories that we see here are the acts of righteousness that he's talking about. But I submit to you that there are other acts of righteousness as well. Whenever he's talking about people seeing the things that we do, he's talking, if we look in our context, about praying, about giving, and about fasting. But there are so many other things that we do in the name of Jesus. There are so many other good works, charitable acts. It says in about Acts 10 and verse 35 that he went, or verse 38, that he went about, Jesus went about doing acts of compassion. He went about doing good deeds. He went about doing things that were important to people's life because he was doing the things that God wanted him. He always did, we read in the New Testament. He always did those things that were pleasing in the Father or to the Father. John's going to talk to us in just a moment about Titus 3 and verse 14 and some ministries. If you've already read through your bulletin, you've read a bit about that already. But that's one of those acts of righteousness that we can perform, that we can do. Whenever you mow your neighbor's yard because your neighbor is sick or ill or can't afford to get it mowed and can't do it, they're on their own. Whenever you do those things, something nice for your neighbor, help them with this or that or the other, that's an act of righteousness. Whenever you bring food to someone who needs a little pick-me-up or a little cheering up or whatever it may be, whenever you do those things, that's an act of righteousness. Whenever you let someone with two or three items go in front of you, whenever you have a cart load full of things, that's an act of righteousness, perhaps. That's something that you can do. That's something that you can do that's very nice, that is in the name of Jesus, perhaps. And we don't have to limit it to just things that we see in the New Testament. Anything that is a good deed done for someone else is one of these acts of righteousness. But we go on. Jesus isn't just talking about acts of righteousness, I submit to you. I think Jesus was talking about normal things. Jesus was talking about things that we do every day that aren't necessarily charitable, that aren't necessarily a good deed, as a Boy Scout would say, or someone else. You see, it's talking about very normal things. Look, if you have your Bible, to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, beginning about verse 36, Jesus is talking about whenever he's going to come again. Matthew 24 talks about a few different things, the destruction of Jerusalem. There's a few questions that are asked, and he's answering these questions. And it says in about verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, whenever I'm going to come, whenever the kingdom comes to fruition, whenever everything is done, whenever the day of judgment is going to be, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. So, he's talking about his second coming. He's talking about judgment. And he says in verse 37, at least in this part of Matthew 24, not all of Matthew 24, but here in this part, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. This is a very interesting passage, but I want to draw your attention to what people are going to be doing whenever Jesus comes back. And we see that one is going to be taken, and really the implication, if you'll look there, is that one is going to be taken away to judgment, not be taken away to heaven, but one is going to be taken and the other left to be rewarded. But they're doing the same thing, grinding at the mill, working in the field. In the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking. People were marrying and given in marriage. If you'll look over in Luke's account of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 17, it says some people are going to be in bed. Some people are going to be sleeping. Others will see these things, these normal acts, and they will notice whether you do them well or you do them poorly. So we think about our marriage. We think about our work. We think about the way we sleep at night. I try to do that very well. We think about all of those things, and we do them well because it has implications. Good works include anything that is good. Acts of righteousness and normal things can both be good. Remember, the material world isn't bad. God created the material world, and He said it is good, right? He created us and He says it's good. God came in the form of Jesus Christ. The Word came and put flesh on and He says it is good, you see, and He died on the cross for us. All of these things. Material world isn't bad, but poor use of the material world is bad. So any of these things can be good, and when we do the things that we're doing, both normal acts and acts of righteousness, they can have results. Jesus wants the things that others see us do done well. Do you see how this makes a difference in our daily life? Do you see how this makes a difference in what you do when you leave this place? We're not to be one type of person when we come and worship God on Sunday or when we come and do Bible class on Wednesday night and a different type of individual on Monday. All week long, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, all of these times we're to be doing good things, whether they're acts of righteousness or normal things done well, you see. What do we do? What is it that God wants us to do? This is very important. This is very, we need marching orders. We need what God wants us to do. What am I supposed to be doing in this life? You see, I do these normal acts. I do this and that and the other. I do these acts of righteousness. Well, what does God want of me? Take a closer look in Matthew chapter 5 of the agent and the verbs and the objects of those verbs. It says again in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." A city set on a hill. Somebody has sat that city on the hill. Verse 15, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand." Somebody puts that light on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Someone allows that light to shine. This is what I'm talking about whenever I say the verb and the agent, the person doing the action in this passage. Look at what's going on here. What are we supposed to do? I think the first thing that we can say here is that we rely on God. We rely on God, do we not? I think that's clear all throughout the New Testament, right? He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. He says, the Lord goes with you each and every day is what we sing, right? And Joshua talks about that in Joshua 1. We don't have to be afraid. God is going to take care of us. We sing that song, God will take care of you. When we get our marching orders, if we look here in Matthew chapter 5, the first one is to rely on God. He will make clear the contrast between you and the darkness. Do you see that? How are you, if we are the light of the world, if we back up to verse 13, if we are the salt of the earth, how are we made the light of the world? How are we made the salt of the earth? God makes us that way, you see? It's not what we do. We look over in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and following, and we see that you have been saved, not of yourselves. You have been saved by the grace of God. We believe in the grace of God here. But we keep on reading there in verse 10, and it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. If there's something that's been created, there must necessarily be a creator. If I have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, both normal things and acts of righteousness, someone created me in Christ Jesus. That was God. That was the Spirit. That was Christ himself. He made us anew. We were washed. We've been regenerated, you see? So we are made the light of the world, the salt of the earth, but we're made that way by God. He is the only one who can do that. We must cooperate with him. We must rely on him. He will be the one to set us on a hill. He sets the city on a hill, does he not? God endows us with abilities and aptitudes, is what I'm suggesting to you this morning. He makes us who we are. I know we don't believe in miraculous spiritual gifts the way that many in the world believe in the miraculous spiritual gifts. However, I do believe in spiritual gifts. I believe that God has endowed each and every one of you with some aptitude, some ability. Some of you in this room are so amazing at artistic things that I just can't fathom it. Now, I know you got that way because you practiced and you worked at it. Some of you are so amazing as woodworkers. Some of you are amazing at the job that you do. Some of you are amazing at exegeting scripture. Some of you are amazing at landscaping. Some of you are amazing at organization. And we could go on and on and on. God has given you the ability to do those things. Sam mentioned it just a few minutes ago, that he gave us the ability to work. He gave us the ability to learn. He gave us the ability to do the things that we're doing. Do you see? God made us this way. He endowed us with these abilities in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Some were given 5 talents, some were given 2 talents, and some were given 1 talent. One man was given 5 talents, 1, 2, and 1, 1, you see. But we see there that they were all given to these individuals by God. Obviously, it's a parable, and we see in the parable that that's what Jesus is trying to get across, that God did those things. The importance wasn't how much that they were given. The importance was that they used those things for the glory of God, what they did with what they received. God sets us up on a hill. We are the ones who allows him to do that. You see the reliance there? He makes us the light. He makes us the salt. He puts us where he wants us. 1 Corinthians 12 says very clearly about us that we are put in the body, changes the body, each one of them as he chooses. So he puts us the way that he wants us. And that's encouraging to me. God put you here at this church, in this moment, in this year, in this month, in this decade. God put you here for a reason. And if I think about that, then that's really encouraging. He uses all of our choices. He uses our free will. He uses the people around us to arrange things so we can do things for him and glorify him. We are the ones that are responsible for relying on God. He is the one who provides the observers. It says that the city set on a hill, that people come and look at it, right? Who provides the observers? It's God. And I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself, Jesus said in John 12 and verse 32. How does he do that? He does that through you and I. And we could go on. He will receive the glory. We are responsible for letting our light shine. We rely on God, and then we don't stop God from allowing us to glorify him. Do you see the difference? We rely on God to make us the light, to set us on the hill, to arrange us where we are, to give us observers, to bring people to us so we can show them the light, show them that Jesus is the Son of God, and then we don't stop the light from shining in us. Let your light so shine before others, it says. Let it. Don't stop it. Some people will take, and he says this as a ridiculous thing, that nobody really does this. They take a lamp and they put something over it so it doesn't really do its job. A lamp is designed to dispel darkness. A lamp is designed to illuminate. But if we put something over it and it doesn't do that anymore, then we're preventing the job that it was designed to do. We are created in Christ Jesus for his glory, for his workmanship. We've got to let it happen. We've got to let our light shine. We don't make our light shine. We don't make others see. We simply do not stop our light from shining. We allow other people to see what we do. Not flaunting, not bragging, not arrogantly, but we don't hide it under a bushel. God has given me this ability to do this or that or the other. I can serve people in this way or another. What's our marching orders? What do we do? From this passage, we see that we're to let our light shine, that we're to rely on God to make us what we need to be, and then we do what we're supposed to do after that point, which is the normal things, the acts of righteousness, but in a good way. Number three, the third question today, please pay attention. What's going to happen? This is the then what question. Really, we have to leave it here in some ways because we aren't responsible. Remember what we said just a moment ago? We rely on God. We trust in God. We let our light shine, and then God does His job. We just trust God. He's the one who has the open road before us, and we don't know where we're going. Abraham left his home country. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and it says that he didn't know where he was going. He was given a promise, and what did it say? He trusted God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So it's in God's hand. But even so, we are told what we can expect. We can expect if we do the things that we are supposed to do, the normal things, the acts of righteousness, but do them in a good way, do them to the very best of our ability, like we see in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, that other people will see. People are going to see it. It was true in Jesus' day, wasn't it? Do you remember what it said about Jesus in Matthew 13, 55? He went to his hometown and he started preaching, and you know what people said? Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother here? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not all his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, aren't they here? Matthew 13 and 55. He said, they're here. We know this guy. People knew about what he did. So it was true in Jesus' day, but in our day, it's even more so, isn't it? Look at YouTube or look at Facebook at some of these people who are caught red-handed doing things that they ought not to do. We have nanny cams, we have phones in our pocket, we have hidden cameras, we have all of these different things. You're not going to get away with very many things, people. So we realize that others are going to see what we do. We're going to develop a reputation that is inescapable, but people won't forget those things. So when we do these things, we realize that others are going to see it, but then number two, that others will give glory to God. Others are going to give glory to God based on what we do, or they're not going to give glory to God based on what we do. Others are going to see, then others will give glory to God. Those who see us do things and do them well, people who do something well, they have individuals who follow them and say, how can I do what you're doing? How can I do it the way that you're doing it? How can I do it well like you're doing it? And they're going to try to recreate that. David's a chemistry teacher, and what he tries to get his students to do sometimes, I imagine, first off, there's a lot of learning, is he tries to get them to assemble things and make something just right. You do this much of this, and this much of something else. And whenever Rua cooks something at home, she tries to put things together in just a certain sort of way so it makes them taste just right, you see. And we tried something the other day. We tried some low-carb dessert, and it said that this was what you needed to put in there, and we tasted it, and it was very bitter. And then we tried something else, and we realized, well, this was what it meant. It didn't mean that. Whenever it said stevia extract, it meant the really potent stuff. It didn't mean the stuff that measures like sugar. So we realized that, and we did it again, and we got it right. Whenever people see you do something right, they're going to want to recreate it. And part of the puzzle for Christians is that they belong to Jesus. We do good things. We do acts of righteousness, and then we do normal things really well. And when people see that, they're going to notice and they're going to give glory to God. Notice again what it says in 1 Peter 3. Remember that this is, although it's talking about women speaking or not speaking here, the same principle is true for everyone. 1 Peter 3, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word. How? By the conduct, by what you do, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Husbands, you can make a difference on your wives. Wives, you can make a difference on your husbands. Parents, you can make a difference to your children. Children, you can make a difference with your parents. Employees, you can make a difference to your employers. Employers, you can make a difference to your employees. And we can keep on going. Every relationship is affected by us letting our light shine. And when we don't do it, then we're denying the glory that God deserves. God wants a Christian. God wants Christians to do the very best. Hear me out on this, church. What you do is important to God. What you do when you leave this place is important to God. How you respond to people in the foyer, how you respond to people in the parking lot, how you respond to people in the line at the grocery store, all of those things are important. We don't cut someone off in traffic and flip them off. That's not what we do because we are children of God. And not only that, we don't drive poorly because we're children of God. You see? Not only do we not yell at someone, but we do what we're doing, driving well, because we're children of God. We obey the laws of the land because we're children of God. It makes a difference to every single aspect of your life. And if it doesn't, maybe you're putting that bushel over the light. The children sing, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Maybe whenever you do those things and you do them in a poor way, you're allowing Satan to it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. This lesson should be encouraging to you. This isn't a guilt lesson. This isn't saying, oh man, another thing. Not only do I got to be good on Sundays, not only got to do this, I got to do it on Monday too. Really, I thought I checked off my list. I thought I punched my car. I thought I was done. It should be encouraging for us because we realize that our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know, church, you know that what you do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even how you sleep at night matters to God. It's not in vain. It makes a difference. This lesson should take a burden off of you. My job is not to make my light shine. My job is to let it shine. Do you see the difference? God is the maker. God is the creator. God is the ruler of the universe. God made us the light. God made us the salt. God set us on the hill. We have to let ourselves be what God made us to be. If you are good at speaking, then be a speaker. If you're good at teaching, then be a teacher. If you're good at giving, Paul talks about this in Romans. If you're good at teaching, then be a teacher. If you're good at giving, then be a giver. If you're good at encouraging, then be an encourager. But do it with all your might, and people will notice, and they will do what, church? Give glory to God. It matters. We look for opportunities. Not just, and I know it's our responsibility to evangelize, not just to evangelize, but to perform acts of righteousness and perform them well. It's our responsibility to look for opportunities to perform normal activities. Cooking dinner for your family, mowing the yard, taking care of your kids, singing with your kids, reading the kids a book. It's your opportunities, and it's a fine chance for you to do these normal things, but do them well so someone can give glory to God. Pray with me. Father God, you are such an amazing God that you made us light, that you made us the salt of the earth. And Father, we pray that we can rely on you this morning and throughout our life, that we can let our light shine, that we won't quench the Spirit in our life, that we will rely on you and your Son, and you and your Son and your Spirit will be glorified in the things that we do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.